Welcome to the special Best of 2025 edition of the A Day at DPL podcast. Join us as DPL's founder and CEO, David Lau, discusses industry trends and best practices with thought leaders across the RIA ecosystem to provide advisors with insights to grow their business and better serve clients. This episode focuses on how annuities fit into the financial planning process. In this segment, behavioral finance expert and author, Dr. Daniel Crosby, joins David to explore the psychological factors that drive investor decisions. They discuss how advisors can create portfolios, which may include commission-free annuities, that are designed to prioritize emotional comfort and confidence, enabling clients to maintain discipline and stick with their strategies through any market cycle.
The notion of how do you get to safety for an investor has been more problematic, I think, you know, from a tactical point of view, you know, for financial advisors. And that's part of where, you know, we can come into and bringing insurance products that have downside protection or guarantees for income, which can be super helpful. And what's fascinating to me is often when advisors, I've spoken to them about this topic of effectively behavioral finance, they're always talking about their clients. And it's like, I wish my clients were calmer, you know, during the storm. I wish they could just stay the course. I tell, you know, I hear those words all the time. They can just stay the course. Well, part of it is having them in the right portfolio, the one that matches to their psychology. And how do you think about that? And, you know, how does the advisor play that role in understanding how to build investments around a client's psychology?
So this is one of my favorite topics, and it will allow me to introduce a framework that I developed that I feel strongly about. So there's sort of three legs to this stool of how you bring about the sort of behavior that these advisors are talking about, which is, of course, what every advisor wants and what every investor needs. The first leg of the stool, they all start with E to make them memorable. The first leg of the stool is education. So I can't remember what the market's down 1% this morning or something, but you know that brings us to 11 or 12% down for the year, right? The average intra-year drawdown over the last 35 years has been about 14.5%. So in one way of speaking, what we're experiencing now is completely normal. And yet, the way that the news acts, you would think that every 10% tumble in the market is a wholly unprecedented thing.
Recency bias.
Yeah, like that could speak to the end of times. You know, one of the things that advisors need to do is educate their clients, that's that first leg, so that they're a little bit of a financial historian to say, look, you should assume that every year, like as regularly as your birthday, you're going to get a 10 to 15% drop in the markets every year. Like every year that we work together, this is going to happen. It's no big deal. And help them to expect that, because the media doesn't treat it as the enormously regular thing that it is. And so, you know, again, other lessons about just how do markets work is one thing that empowers the investors to make it through times like these and go, oh, we've been here before. Right. And these tend to be buying opportunities, and this kind of happens a lot. The second piece is the most overlooked, and it's the one that you are talking about. So if the first leg of the stool is education, the second leg of the stool is environment. This is probably my biggest learning of my two decades of being a student of human behavior, is that environment is a better predictor of behavior than desire or values, right? And you think about this across a number of contexts. Like I did in the last year, I've lost a bunch of weight. And one of the ways that I did that was by shaping my environment, right? And you do simple things. Like if you don't want to eat Oreos, you just don't buy Oreos, right? You know, instead of white knuckling your way past a bag of double stuffed Oreos, you just don't bring them in the house. You make your environment better. If you want to work out in the morning, the research shows that laying out your gym shoes and your shorts and your t-shirt, as simple as that is, like that environmental stimulus greatly improves your likelihood of going to the gym. So there's all these environmental cues that I've tried to tweak in order to get in better shape, and it's worked. The same thing is true of investors. If we want our investors to be calm, if we want them to take the ride in the way that we want them to be able to stay the course, we have to design portfolios in ways that maximize anxiety-adjusted returns. What do I mean by that? I think a lot of times we compute something that is spreadsheet optimal, right? You know, the math is optimal, but it doesn't take the human and put the human in the loop. The optimal portfolio for your clients is not the one that on paper gives them the highest returns. The optimal portfolio for your clients is the one that they can live with for 20, 30, 40 years and see through to the end. And not enough advisors have come around to that way of thinking yet.
WealthCare's Matt Regan joins David to examine the major shift underway in the RIA industry from investment management toward comprehensive financial planning, which clients now expect. They discuss how advisors are expanding services to include more planning solutions and introducing retirement income products like commission-free annuities, while also outsourcing non-core functions like compliance and operations to gain efficiency.
We almost take it for granted talking about, but planning and doing it from a planning perspective, that's to me, I've been in the RIA industry about 20 years now. That's still a relatively new thing because RIAs grew up as investment managers, or financial advisors really did grow up as investment salesmen and then managers. And now like planning is what I think clients really want. The financial investments kind of come along with that, but you know, clients really want to see a plan.
We tend to find advisors that are planning focused first. We have an investment team, so we provide an investment solution to the advisors. So we're TAMP-like in that regard. But really, the story that we tell is, as an independent financial advisor, you probably shouldn't be spending a ton of time picking stocks or picking mutual funds or, God forbid, doing compliance or trading or operations. Your time is best spent helping your clients either with plans or with their life goals. And that's really the value that you provide.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny how many advisors really do want to be into the nuts and bolts of picking investments and things like that. There's still a big investment DNA in lots of advisors. And we run into that just with a product offering, right? Obviously, we do commission-free annuities. And the notion of an investment person thinking about an annuity, you know, they can throw their hands up sometimes. But
yeah,
fits really well in a plan. It's a great income solution. And the great thing to me about planning is it's really taking a client through retirement, where a lot of the investment approach is just like, hey, we're going to accumulate a lot of money for you and then we'll draw it down. And it doesn't feel like much of a plan.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I talk to advisors about this whole idea of getting them out of the investment business, I say, Jack Bogle's got $8 trillion that says that you don't know what you're doing. So you might as well, you know, ride the wave. And that's a little bit cynical. But I think to your point, one of the things in the industry that people have been talking about is there's going to be fee compression. You can't charge 100 basis points. You can't keep going doing what you're doing. And the reality is there hasn't been a lot of pressure on fees. What's changed is that the advisors have to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Right. So now they're doing things like, how do I guarantee income in retirement? How do I advance tax planning? And who's going to do my tax prep? Now, these are things that everybody's working harder,
yes,
but they're still making the 1%, which is great. And I think there's an argument that says it's probably worth more than 1%. But really, I haven't seen the compression of the fees at the advisor side yet.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the data supports that too, right? The fees haven't been compressed, but the services have been expanded. So if the services are, you know, what's being required of you as an advisor is more, you've got to figure out ways of being more efficient, you know, whether it's through software, through outsourcing, whatever it might be, but doing the things you were talking about, like compliance, back office work, that can't be part of your equation if you need to be providing more value to your clients in order to retain your fees.
I would take it right to our relationship because we know that there's only so much that WealthCare can provide these advisors, and they need so much more. Just to use the tax planning as I don't have a bunch of advanced tax planners sitting around that they can help these advisors with massive cases for large clients that have huge implications. but I can find partners that we can provide these advisors. And DPL falls squarely in that category. The fact that you guys have pioneered fee-friendly annuities for fee-only advisors gives us a whole world that we didn't have accessible to us. Guaranteed income in retirement through the use of annuities. You know, that's something that we know we can't provide it. So we find great partners like you to help us augment our services.
John Thiel of Indivisible Partners and David focus on the missed opportunity to help clients stick to their long-term plans when advisors fail to prioritize risk management over wealth accumulation. They point out that a key solution is for advisors to have vulnerable conversations about the purpose of their clients' wealth and design strategies that match the client's psychology, rather than forcing the client to adapt to a high-risk portfolio.
I've been working with advisors for, 20, 25 years myself. And one of the things that always struck me as a disconnect here, too, was advisors talk about, particularly when the market's going a little haywire and there's volatility like we've had much of this year, they say, I'm playing psychologist more than financial advisor. I'm trying to talk my clients off the ledge, stay the course, don't do anything rash here. Everything's going to be fine. It's like psychological. But on the other hand, it's like maybe to me, there's a gap between maybe the service or the investments you've provided and their psychology. Where maybe you didn't hear them. Maybe they're not okay with the market volatility. Intellectually, you should be, but emotionally as a client, when it's your money, and particularly when you're near retirement or in retirement, not so easy to stay the course. And so I always thought that was a bit of a disconnect, for advisors who think it's on the client to adapt to what I'm doing rather than think about maybe I can alter my strategy. And I think since you came out of insurance, at least for the early part of your career, risk management is something I don't think advisors pay attention to enough. But you hear all of these things, right? And for me, it's always perplexing, like, well, why don't you pay more attention to risk management? Because you hear about the psychology and having to deal with clients who are iffy and worried during volatility. And then you hear about how most clients hate losing money more than they like making money. And yet, most advisors are focused on accumulation and building wealth and not risk management.
Right. Well, you're describing well behavioral finance, right? And how we think it's really important to have those conversations. And it requires a mindset shift for many advisors to have that, let's call it a pretty vulnerable conversation with clients and really may help them get comfortable enough to share what those concerns are. It's why one of the questions that we love to make sure that clients get a chance to answer is, what's the purpose of your wealth? And really understand what is it you're trying to accomplish with it, not necessarily assume they just want to grow it at all costs. And it has a job to do, and risk is the threat, right? That you can't complete the work. I always felt it was really important. And clients, I think, generally can understand what the concept of risk is. And do you pass that risk to someone else, or do you own that risk? And I think they're capable of understanding the difference between those two. And, someone who has, been retired for 7 years or was, it was wonderful. We know we retire on our balance sheet, but turning that into cash flow, mm-hmm. not quite as easy as it seems. Mm-hmm. And it becomes that what you worry about versus how big the pile is, because ultimately you live on cash flow. And so those are risks that need to be addressed. And you need to have that conversation out in the open about what it is that I need to support my lifestyle and how do I do that. And the most efficient being from a risk management perspective way possible.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.